Welcome, everybody, to the next episode of Mojito Talks. I'm your host, Sherry Altergut, Chief Experience Officer at the CX Edge. Well, we have a very special treat for you guys today. To be honest, I met with him a few months ago, and I have been looking forward to doing this podcast ever since. We have Matthew Pollard. He's known as a rapid growth guy. He's responsible for 5 multi-million dollar business success stories. Today, Forbes calls him the real deal. Global Gurus lists him as a top 30 sales professional, and Selling Power magazine just named him as their sales kickoff speaker of the year. He's also a best-selling author of The Introvert's Edge, a book series which has sold over 100,000 copies and has been translated into over 15 languages. But probably the most important thing that he's going to be doing is speaking at the 2024 Mojito Convention. So welcome, Matthew. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm ecstatic to be here.
Yeah, like I said, I really have been looking forward to this. Today, we're going to focus a little bit more on the topic of introverts. I know you speak much broader than that, but I think it really resonates, especially with our audience. I identify myself as an introvert, and I speak with people every day that identify themselves in the same and have had certain struggles just of how to best utilize that as really a skill set. So I was hoping we could just jump right in, because I know we have a lot to cover and not a lot of time. Could you just give us, I know I read your background, but could you give us a little bit of more of an intro into who you are and why you speak on this?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's an important thing to discuss as well, because a lot of times when people see me speak, they kind of project extroversion upon me. And I think that happens a lot. Like if you think about things like, we all know that introverts they're not great at small talk. But hang on a second, Oprah Winfrey and David Letterman are introverts. So how does that make sense? Okay, well, if they can do small talk, they definitely can't network. Well, hang on a second, Ivan Meisen, the founder of the world's largest networking group in the world, BNI, is an introvert. Well, then they definitely can't sell. Zig Ziglar was an introvert. So what is it specifically that we introverts can't do? And I feel like what's happened is it's like the world has taken on this lie that introverts are, they don't have this gift of gab. So because of that, we're second class citizens. And the truth is introverts aren't second class citizens at all. Our path to success is just different to that of an extrovert. And the truth is, if you're not an introvert and you're listening to this and you're an extrovert, maybe you think that you have an advantage. The truth is, firstly, if you're running an organization, you don't embrace the powers of your introverts, my gosh, you're going to lose out on a huge amount of opportunity. But then secondly, introverts follow systems and process. And I mean, Brian Tracy, who is a big extrovert, will say the top 10% of all sales performers have a planned presentation. The bottom 80% say whatever comes out of their mouth. And trust me, I learned this the hard way. So for me, I mean, I was in late high school, I had a reading speed of a sixth grader. I was super introverted. But luckily enough, I got diagnosed with this thing called Erlen syndrome, which basically means I put on this pair of funny colored lenses and miraculously I could learn the process of, well, I could learn to read, but not like everyone else. I could start the process. Well, after 2 years of hustling through high school, I got into the top 20% of my state, but my family could see I was exhausted and lost for what to do. And so we all agreed I was going to take a year to find myself. And I took a job at a real estate agency. And before you think I was the guy out selling, I wasn't. I was the guy in the back office doing data entry, look on my face, like, don't speak to me, I'm here to find myself. Well, luckily, I guess I should say now rather than unluckily, I lost my job 3 weeks in because they decided to shut down that office. And this was just before Christmas in Australia. So for those people that have never been to the Southern Hemisphere, we're kind of backwards, especially Australia. We do our Christmas holiday and our summer holiday at the same time because that's the seasons are backwards. And so people go on holidays on the 20th of December. They don't come back till the 15th or 20th of January. So I'm like, well, what jobs can I get? I pull out the then classified, like the newspaper jobs, and everything I could find, there were 3 jobs total, and all of them said these words, commission only sales, which I think is enough to even bring terror to the mind of even most extroverts. But my dad was more terrifying. Like he broke his back 80 hours a week supporting the family. There was no way I was going to home without a plan. So I applied to all 3 jobs, and then I got 3 job interviews, and then I got 3 job offers. And I'm like, wow, maybe they see something in me I don't see in myself. Well, what was interesting, and I took this job doing business-to-business telecommunications, which was, for me, I had really bad acne back then. I always felt people were looking at me. But so the fact that I had any confidence at all going to this job said something. But then the trainer put my excitement to rest because he's like, Matt, we just hire everyone. We've got this saying, we just throw mud up against the wall and we see what sticks. I'm like, great. 5 days product training, not a single second of sales training. I get thrown on this road. It's called Sydney Road in Melbourne, Australia. And I get told to go sell, which sounds great until you realize you don't know what to say. They've only given you this thing, product knowledge, nothing about how to sell. So I walked into the first door and I was politely told to leave. Shortly after that, I was less politely told to leave. Then I was sworn at, but my personal favorite was always go get a real job. I mean, this was the only job I could get. Well, this happened door after door after door until I got to my 93rd door. And I remember to this day, I made about $70 and I was ecstatic for about 45 seconds till I had my second big realization for the day. I got to do this again tomorrow and the next day and the next. The whole idea was just not okay. And see, here's the defining moment. I think that introverts often will quit or they'll accept, especially if they have their own business, this is the way it's going to be. And sales managers will say, oh, poor Johnny's an introvert, so we'll just have to accept subpar performance off them. Now, don't get me wrong, the extroverts, on the other hand, they might do okay. But then all of a sudden, they have the exciting days where they're selling lots, and then whoops, now they've had a fight with their husband or wife, and now their sales are a lot worse because you get that roller coaster ride because their ability to sell is based on their mood. Well, I wasn't willing to do any of the introverted quit or just double down and just hope on lady luck. So I decided sales had to be a system. And I literally said, well, I mean, I couldn't pick up a Brian Tracy or a Zig Ziglar book. It would have taken me a year to read those, let alone apply them. But what I did decide is that I was going to try typing the word sales system into YouTube. And all these videos came up. And by the way, I'm not suggesting this to anybody. This was traumatic for me. And there are better ways to do this. But I spent 8 hours in the field applying what I learned, 8 hours at home every night, fixing what I'd already learned or learning the next step. And then 16 hours on the weekend, every day I'd practice. Every day I did this, but every day I got better. Soon it was 71 doors, then 43, then 18, then 9. Eventually I got it down to making a sale on every third door. Well, 6 weeks in, my manager pulls me aside and I thought I was getting fired again. He had that look on his face that I've seen before. I mean, I was a quiet guy. I didn't hand in my paperwork. I handed my paperwork in downstairs, didn't talk to anyone upstairs. I wasn't exactly the camaraderie guy. Well, next thing you know, he tells me they just got the national sales figures. And this was the largest sales and marketing company in the Southern Hemisphere, by the way. And it turns out I was the number one salesperson in the company. The whole thing took 6 weeks.
That's fantastic. That's an amazing story. And I think it really can resonate with our audience. This industry is an industry that tends to put people in sales positions that aren't historically salespeople. They might have been an engineer or a technician or just other roles that they know functionally really well, but not the sales piece of it. So I think a lot of people can relate to that. It really is a great story. Now, we're talking about introverts today, and I always like to set the table, especially as it comes to definitions, because I think we live in a culture that just throws out words all the time, and some of them really lose what their real meaning is. So can you just set the table and define for us what an introvert is?
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, it's okay if it sounds confusing to everybody, and I'm going to clean it up for you today. But the truth is, there has been way too many research grants because it pays to make things complicated. So let's simplify it down to its bare terms. Introversion is just where you draw your energy from. If you draw your energy from being with people, you're an extrovert. If you draw your energy from being by yourself, then you're an introvert. Now, here's some of the things that are really important for people to know. If you don't actually know what your team is and what you are, that's a real concern, because how do you help people? Like, how do you an introvert doesn't need to learn a sales system. First, they need to believe in themselves. Then they're willing to learn a sales system. You know, you've got an extrovert, you know, they don't like process, but a planned presentation will always outperform. That's why I say introverts can outperform their extroverted counterparts, because, well, let's face it, we introverts are terrible at sales at the beginning, but over time we hold on to a system for dear life, because without it, we're terrible. So we end up far better than an extrovert, because some days they're good, some days they're bad. They're always changing things. I mean, imagine if Toyota just winged building a car every time. How long until, like, it's just terrible. That's the way we do sales. It's ridiculous. Now, the thing is that most people make introversion feel, to anyone that has it, like it's a terrible thing. So why would I mean, if I was an introvert working for an extroverted boss or an introverted boss that didn't outwardly say that there's nothing wrong with being introvert or extrovert, I would never outwardly tell somebody, because that means I'm never getting promoted. I'm never going to get given a leadership position. I mean, so what I really want people to understand is, when you ask somebody, here's some of the responses that I got. And I can tell you, I spoke at the AAISP Leadership Summit, which is the American Association of Inside Sales Professionals. Think of every logo that you recognize in the tech space. Like if you think engineers selling, the tech space is one of them. Finance, aeronautics, all of these industries are there. The best in the business, the top of the food chain in all these organizations are there. And I did a survey before I spoke about who was introverted, who was extroverted. A bunch of people didn't know. Some of the people would respond with, oh, I was introverted, but don't worry, I'm extroverted now. Like, why should I worry? There's nothing wrong with being an introvert. Imagine trying to create an emotionally safe environment for your staff if you think that if they outwardly say they're an introvert, they have a disease the way it was framed, right? Horrible. And then you get other people say, oh, I was introverted, but now, you know, I'm more extroverted. That is the fact that they don't understand what it is. Because here's the thing. Hopefully, people think that I'm being quite articulate now. That comes from planning, preparation, and practice. This is also over, I've done over 100 interviews just like this. So clearly, I've got better at it. Secondly, it doesn't draw as much energy from me as anymore. I enjoy doing this stuff. Why? I'm talking, firstly, passion. I'm talking about my favorite thing in the world to talk about. But then secondly, I already know what I'm going to say. Now, don't get me wrong, you might ask slightly different questions and I can bring some of the different things together, but I've got so much pre-planned material now, it's hard to catch me out. The same with sales. I've got people that I've worked with that are heavily introverted, like with chronic stutters, where the stutters have gone away and they enjoy networking. And then they report that they feel like they've got just as much energy. They're wrong, but they feel like they've got just as much energy when they walk out of the room. I know, I mean, when I speak at the Mahita conference, I'm going to go from event to event to event. I'm going to answer everyone's questions until nobody's going to have any questions left to answer because I have this no introvert left behind process. But then once I go back into the hotel room, it's going to hit me like a freight train. It's going to be like I've been out skydiving and I will feel like I've been skydiving. It was fun. It was exhilarating. I feel like I provided everyone a ton of value. I'm just tired now. But there was no way I could do multiple events in the past. I could do one speaking event. And then they couldn't, then I had to go, you know, answer some questions and I go straight back to the room because there was so much anxiety energy about whether everybody would like me until I realized it wasn't about me or whether or not I was going to say the right thing or what I was doing with my hands. And then I'd ruminate that night. All of that is gone because of planning, preparation, and practice. And that applies to every so-called extroverted arena.
So you mentioned in the beginning of that, that some people aren't sure which they are. You know, and I'm sure even in the previous story, there are situations where a boss might not know where their team falls. How do you recommend that if people don't know what they are, how do they kind of go about figuring that out?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are a couple of really simple ways. The first thing is you've got to create a place of emotional safety. So if you're an introvert, out yourself as an introvert. Like, and if you say, I was very quiet and reserved originally, but now I'm not. Think about another so-called extroverted arena that you don't have a lot of confidence in. Would that be something that you'd be exhausted after doing, right? For instance, I love going business networking and I don't find it exhausting at all anymore. But you take me out to a socializing networking event, whew, that's a whole different story, right? So because of that, I had to learn a different series of steps. I just don't enjoy it as much. And a lot of times I'm not talking to people. Like, I love getting into real deep conversations. Introverts love that. But that doesn't mean I can't do social chit-chat. It just drains me a little bit more. And, you know, I the other thing that I can tell you is, you know, I remember what's funny about this, me becoming the number one salesperson in the company, is they looked at me with, oh, if you can sell, you can lead. They gave me a team of 20 people. And I'm like, I can't manage. Like, I've got no idea what I'm doing. And they're like, no worries, butt up against the wall. We'll see what sticks. Well, all 20 people quit on me within 24 hours. But I went back to YouTube and I learned how to manage and I got good at it and I got promoted 7 times. And that's what led to the 5 multi-million dollar success stories. I left about 12 months later. But the thing is that if you're a leader that doesn't know who you are from an energy level, you need to do that self-assessment. And if you're like, well, I don't know because I go networking now and I feel, you know, buzz, you know, I feel that buzz and excitement. Are you the guy that's saying, let's go to the bar afterwards? Or are you the person that then wants to go home to their family? Do you feel like when you get home, you're a little bit tired or you feel yourself a little bit more sluggish the next day, even if you haven't had anything to drink? What about earlier? Maybe you don't charge, but originally you felt really introverted and now you don't. Well, that you can't change who you are. You just learn process. Now, what I would suggest is to create that emotional safety. If you're an introvert, it's easy, because the moment you out yourself as an introvert, the first thing you realize is half the people that are the best in the business that you thought were extroverted will say, me too, as soon as you explain what it is, because now it's safe. The extroverts, on the other hand, I mean, I don't want to make this sound like extroverted bashing, but some might say they're not the most empathetic people in the world and they're not the best listeners. But the difference is, now they've realized there's a whole bunch of people in the room that are great at that. So if you're going out with somebody, I would take the best listener with me if I was an extrovert. And then I would ask my manager, who has that as a natural gift if they're introverted, can I get some active listening classes so that I can, you know, or some coaching? The difference is introverts believe there's a barrier to being able to learn these things because they don't have gift of gab. Extroverts know that they can learn these things, and that's where there's a massive divide. But if I was an extroverted manager, the first thing that I would want to do is say that you listen to this podcast by this guy with a weird accent, and you noticed that he outwardly spoke about introversion from a place of pride, and you did some research and you discovered that not only he was an introvert, but Zig Ziglar, the best in the business, was introvert. And what you realized is planning and preparation is actually the thing that defines the best in the business, regardless of natural ability. And because of that, you've realized that introverts, you've been letting them down, and just outwardly apologize if you have. And say, so because of that, what I've realized is I need to do two things. I need to help you believe that you can sell as an introvert, not accept subpar performance. And then I need to give you the skills in which to do that. And if you want to do this, then, I mean, you don't have to buy my book. My publisher is going to have to hate me when I say that, but get them to read The Introvert's Edge, just the first chapter. You can download it at theintrovertsedge.com. You don't need to buy the book for that. And just get them to read the first chapter, because it will give them overwhelming evidence for why introverts make the best salespeople. If you get your extroverts to read it, it'll get them to realize that if they don't start following a system real quick, those extroverts that they've been destroying for sales up until now are going to start biting at their ankles and very quickly get in front of them. So that will gravitate them to a system as well. And then also it will give them a basic outline of a system. But truthfully, it doesn't need to be my system. As long as they believe in themselves, any methodical system that allows them to leverage their natural gifts will allow them to be successful.
That's such a fantastic overview, because I really think, number one, as a manager, it's so important to understand who's on your team, just as much as is important for me to understand who I am. And I think kind of having some of those tools will help people be better managers, better leaders, for sure. Now, we've touched a few times on networking. I know networking is a point of contention for some introverts. It was for myself. It took me a lot of networking opportunities before I really found my stride and became more comfortable in doing it. Much like you said, now I'm pretty comfortable with it, but it's only because I've been doing it for so long. But I had to really push myself in the beginning. For introverts, what would you say is kind of the number one mistake maybe they make when starting to network?
Yeah, it's a great question. And so I'm gonna be careful, because I should be saying at this point, that's what you're going to hear at the conference, because I'm going to show you how to create what's called a unified message and tell stories rather than hit people with jargon. By the way, if you're an engineer listening, I want you to know this. When you educate a client because you think that that's your job, you're doing it for you, not for them. The number one job of a salesperson or a networker is to serve. Like, don't get me wrong, before the used car salespeople got hold of sales, or the door-to-door salespeople that, yes, I used to be one of them, but there's an article like Birth of the American Salesperson, which was all about, we go to a town, we sell snake oil, no one will notice us when we go to the next town, because, you know, we're out of that town and we go to the next one. And if you live in New York City or Chicago, it's the same thing, right? No one will, I'll never run into this person again. Well, social media is fixing a lot of that, thank goodness. But the truth is that sales kind of has that slimy feel to it. So when we go to networking, we change, you know, when somebody asks what we do, like the elevator pitch, I do this for this group of people, even if, horrible. It sounds so contrived. It's like, oh, I'd love to get you as a client, because if I got you as a client, I'd be able to buy a brand new car, and I really want a new car. Horrible. But then what do you do instead? Do you do, oh, well, you know, my day job is this. That is also horrible, right? No one wants to buy off someone like that. No one wants to have the energy drop down. So I talk about using what I call passion and mission in a unified message. And so and I'll be careful here, because there's a whole session I'm doing on network. It's called Death of the Elevator Pitch, and I'm covering that at the conference. And then storytelling is one of the other things that is my major presentation, because for those engineers that are listening, that spew out a fire hose of information, you are not helping your clients and they're less likely to buy. And the thing that I want to tell you is, going back to the what sales actually is, the word sales was derived from the original Scandinavian term to serve. The best way to serve your clients is getting your customers out of their own way. And the best way to do that is to tell stories and inspire them with your passion and mission and care. And if you don't think you have a passion mission that you can articulate, well, firstly, your organization should help you with that. But then secondly, you could have done anything. There is a reason why you did this. And there's an example I'll give you at the event about an insurance person that really had no passion and he was lying to himself. I mean, there was a reason he chose insurance, and we'll dig deeper into that. But what I really want to tell introverts is that the things they really do wrong for today is, firstly, being interested before being interesting is a real key factor that a lot of networking books will tell you, but most people do not feel that they're comfortable doing that, and it's something you need to learn to do. The second thing is that when somebody asks you what it is that you do, realize it's not about you. Networking is not about you. Sales is not about you. Public speaking for me was terrifying until I realized it ain't about me. It's about the outcome that you give people. And we'll go deep into that at the event. Today, I want to say this. If you go to a networking event and you haven't researched the people before you go, what are you doing? I mean, in today's technology revolution, there is an event in the world. Like, think about Meetup. There's going to be an app. There's going to be a list of past attendees. There's going to be a Facebook page with photos of the people that went last time. I can go and look at any of those tools, research all of those. I call it profile shopping. Go profile shopping into every single person, check out what they do, what they're into, who's helpful for you, and connect with them before you come and say, I hope we get a chance to run into each other because I'm really passionate about X, and or I just noticed you read this book or whatever you see, right? You're not stalking. You're making the best use of your time. If you're going to any networking event and you don't do that, you're going to end up speaking to someone that sells insurance, and you deserve it. If you instead do the research, be prepared. When you go into a networking room, you'll walk in and you'll see familiar faces because it'll feel like a bunch of pre-planned meetings. So while I give you the strategies of what to say when you speak to people in my Death of an Elevator presentation in Mahita, while I'll tell you how to separate yourself so you're not defining yourself by your functional skill in my presentation, Rapid Growth, The Lazy Way, at the event, and while I'll teach you about storytelling, which is the heart of networking, the heart of selling, the heart of leadership, and the heart of public speaking, what I really want you to do is understand it's not about you, and the large amount of the success, regardless of your personality type, comes from planning and preparation. And part of that planning and preparation is researching the people that are in the room, so when you get there, you speak to the right people.
That's fantastic. And it's so funny you said it because I literally spent my morning going through Mahita's convention attendee list, looking at who's going to be there and making notes and preparing for that. So it is available on Mahita's website if you want to start preparing for your networking. So thank you for bringing that up. I want to kind of just wrap this part up with, what would you define as an introvert superpower?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I want to go back to your last statement because you did the research, you wrote them down, but what you didn't do is find them on LinkedIn and connect with them and tell them how excited you were to read something about it. Like when I'll give you an example. I was trying to get sponsorship for an event that I run in Austin that's listed by Inc as one of the top five small business conferences in America. And I wanted Dell to sponsor it. I didn't know anyone from Dell. So I did some research online, found an event that somebody from Dell attends, checked them out on Instagram, funnily enough, and found out this guy is like crazy into Peloton. I don't want to be riding a bike in a room by myself, but I'm happy to listen to him talk about it. So I connected with him beforehand. He saw a familiar face, and guess what? He's introverted too. If you connect with them, you got a 50-50 chance they're introverted, and they're like, oh, familiar face too, safety, right? So connect with them beforehand, and he asked me how my day was going, and I'm like, you know what? It's going great, but it started off a little bit jumpy because I love to run. It's what clears my head. And it was raining this morning, so I couldn't get out. And I always hate when that happens. And so he then began talking about Peloton. And for 20 minutes, I didn't say a thing. And then at the end of that 20 minutes, I'm like, oh my gosh, Matt, I haven't even asked you what it is that you do. And then I said, I was the rapid growth guy. He asked what that was. And then I told him about my passion and mission. Very shortly after that, they wrote me a very big check. So the thing you have to understand is connect with them beforehand so they expect you to come. Connect with them beforehand so they can also check your profile. And you might even find that you don't end up meeting with that person at the event because you've probably already connected with them in advance. But if you really want to come back to the introverted strength, which is the question that you asked, the answer is, I mean, introverts are amazing at empathy. Like we know how to empathize. What's funny though, especially from an engineer perspective, they are very feeling people and they can channel empathy, but they're so practical and logical minded. So sometimes getting them out of that logical focus is really important. And you know, one of the things I suggest is like, when you think about your customer, right? Oh, tell me a customer story. And they always tell me about these customer stories that help. And I'm like, well, what was going on with them? And they start telling me about the business. I'm like, no, you've got a scared person that knows they can get it cheaper from a producer out of China that's trying to trust you. And you're trying to help them understand the total ownership cost rather than this tiny little thing. But they've got people that they will either need to go for a collective sale with, or they need to take a punt, which is becoming far less often these days. And let's be truthful, most of them these days think they've done their research and think they have the answer before you even get there. They're wrong. And you going in as an engineer will tell them that, which you shouldn't do. That's why we have stories. But if you don't empathize with the fear they have, what's going on, the fact that the last time they trusted something, they ended up missing 2 weekends with their kids because they had to go in and fix it, then you don't understand your customers. So yeah, the ability to feel and empathize is hugely important. And that comes from understanding what words to use and then channeling that and imagining what they feel like. And introverts are amazing at that. Active listening, huge. But the problem is we're always struggling to think about what to say and then we get stuck in our heads. So that's why planning and preparation on what to say is so important, because then we can focus on actively listening and making what we say using empathy and active listening, we can actually make it relevant to them. And then more importantly, planning, preparation. We are awesome at that. Like, you've already checked people on LinkedIn. Of course you have. You're an introvert. You're going, you want to feel comfortable, right? So because of that, you've done your planning and preparation. A lot of extroverts would just go into the room. They'd have lots of great conversations. And yes, something good will shake out of that, but nowhere near as much that you can shake out if every conversation is awesome.
Yeah, I think it's just about identifying what your skill set is and just knowing whether you're an introvert or not, I think helps kind of start you down that path. So great advice. And I'm sure you've made a lot of introverts out there feel a little bit more comfortable. I could certainly talk about this all day, but we have to go to our lightning round. And I know you're not familiar with our lightning round, but we ask our guests 10 quick questions, just fun questions to get you know you better. Because you do this for a living, I did make them a little bit harder for you. So just be prepared. Are you ready to enter the lightning round, Matthew?
I feel like there needs to be some tense music playing as you do this. Sure, let's do it.
I think they added an editing. All right, we start off with, what's one bucket list item you would like to fulfill this year?
One bucket item I'd like to fulfill this year. You know, I would love... I wouldn't be doing it this year though. I would love to go to Egypt. I've traveled most of the places in the world. Egypt's one of those things that I just haven't been able to do. So I would definitely love to do that. I think I would like to go back to Europe again this year.
Would you rather be on a game show or a survival show?
Oh gosh. Well, it depends on what the game show's about. I just did a trivia event with an event that I was speaking, and my gosh, I'm good at this. I know this stuff really well. But if you ask me about music artists, so if it's a business game show, the game show. Otherwise, Survivor, because I won't last very long.
If you could be a professional at any weird or unusual skill, what would it be?
Weird or unusual skill? Gosh, I can't even think of a weird or unusual skill. What would it be? I think I would like to do cool, weird things with basketballs. I think the ability to do that and make a shot, but throwing it behind my back or something like that, it would be a nice party trick.
It would be. What's the most adventurous thing you've ever done?
Oh, you're talking to the wrong person for that. Not because I'm not adventurous, but because I decided that I wanted to be. So when I'm in my 30s, I traveled the world for an entire year and went to pretty much every continent and every country I could muster. But rap jumping would probably be the best one. So it's rappelling. Like most people rappel backwards down mountains, I ran face first down the side of buildings.
Oh, well, I would say that's pretty adventurous. What's the most memorable concert or live performance you've ever attended?
I saw U2 in concert in Melbourne, Australia. That was pretty good fun.
I've seen them a few times in Chicago. They're a good time. If you could have an exotic pet, what would it be?
Oh, I'd absolutely get a tiger. Not a lion, a tiger.
Tiger. If you could have a 1 minute conversation, would you rather have a 1 minute conversation with your past self or a 1 minute conversation with your future self?
Oh, my past self, definitely. I'd tell him not to worry so much.
What's something you're passionate about, but not many people know that you're passionate about?
Ah, that's a really good question. I'm really into geopolitics. And the reason for that is I don't really talk politics on stage or in live events or anything like that, because gosh, that's a danger
Yeah.
field. But I'm actually less interested in having a political point of view as much as understanding what political decisions lead to the change of tides and economic activity. And I'm known as the rapid growth guy, and part of that is understanding the fluctuations, understanding the commodity markets, what political decisions are made, not just in a national level, but a global level. And if you don't understand it, you can't do it. And I love it because so few people actually understand it enough to know what's happening. And those people that do, wow, the conversations are fun.
Yeah, that would there's a lot of information in there for sure. If you had to give up something for the rest of your life, what would that be?
If I had to give up something, I'm assuming something I like, because I'm very willing to give up 1,000 things that I don't like. If I had to
Yeah.
give up something, oh, that's a really good question. I would give up at the moment right now picking up my phone between 7 and 7.
I like that. And finally, how do you recharge?
Right after this, I'll be watching some TV show that I definitely won't remember seeing. And I've given my permission to do it. Like for me, I've got, and it's almost, I have the same TV shows that I watch over and over again. I watch the first 3 or 4 seconds and I know what's happened right through to the end. And when I've got energy, I watch new shows. But when I don't, I just need to feel, it's more like the comfort blanket kind of show. And for me, they only need to be 20 minutes, but it allows me to immerse, enjoy it, laugh at the jokes that I already know are coming, and then I come back revived.
I love that. Well, you've made it through our lightning round with flying colors, so congratulations. Thank you for playing. That sadly brings us to the end of our podcast. Do you have any parting words you would like to leave our listeners with?
I mean, I think you brought up a good question when you asked me what my introvert's edge is. Funnily enough, or what the average person's introvert edge is. What I was surprised with, I have a podcast called The Introvert's Edge, and because I'm so tired of people saying that introverts have disadvantages, that's why I came up with the introvert's edge. But that's why I ask every guest, everything from billion-dollar tech founders to, I mean, the founder of billion-dollar brand UGG boots, the sheepskin boot company that we wear. He's got a great Australian accent too, so I apologize that you won't understand either of us. But we talk about some amazing ways of how he fell into sales as well. But not just sales, all of these so-called extroverted arenas. But what I do is I ask them all at the end what they consider their introvert's edge. And I would recommend people listen to at least a few episodes of that if they're an introvert, because the truth is that it's mind-blowing some of the answers that they come up with, and they're all absolutely correct for them.
That's great. Well, I am certainly looking forward to seeing you in San Diego and hearing more and finally meeting you in person. If you're interested in going to the MAHITA conference, it's only about a month away. You can register on MAHITA's website at mahita.org. And it's April 20th through 23rd in San Diego. So that's not a bad deal, anyways. So thank you again, Matthew, for being with us. I'm your host, Sherry Altergut, and we'll see you on the next episode of MAHITA Talks. Thank you.